Your people did a lot of hunting.
Yes.
What did they use to hunt with?
Bow and arrow.
Bow and arrow.
Mm-hmm.
Did they ever use some other things?
Yeah, stone like that. That is, I didn't see. Only one I saw use that is my grandfather.
Throwing stone?
Mm-hmm. He used to use that. Of course, when I was a girl, I never went no place. But I don't remember. He had a buckskin, I know, but what is twisted or braided? He used to wrap it around there, and you see small animal, he used to go like this and throw the stone. Sometime he'd miss it, sometime he'd hit it. But he used to look for that stone. I used to help him look for him, run around. Now I realize why. This must have been hard to make. Put groove around that rock.
And he used this pretty small animal.
Mm-hmm. A rabbit or something, squirrels.
You use bow and arrow.
Mm-hmm.
Here's a piece of obsidian.
Mm-hmm.
What do you call it in your language?
Mikire.
Now, there's none of this in the park.
I know. There ain't any.
Where did your people
get? My grandfather used to go away 3-4 days. And when he come home, he had all he could pack on his back. He said there's a whole hill up somewhere. I think it's out Pandos. I'm not sure because I never was out there. But there is one in Modoc, I know, but they never did go there. Of course, they used to be afraid of those Modoc people.
Is that so?
Mm-hmm.
Did they ever have a war with those Modoc people?
Well, the Modoc used to want to kill our tribe off. My mother told me that. This was before my time. She said the Modoc people would watch the smoke wherever they make fire, and even your smoke goes up, they'd watch that. And they know they're there, and then surround them in the night to kill them. She said it was dangerous in the summertime, but it wasn't so dangerous in wintertime.
Very interesting. Back to the Mikire.
Mm-hmm.
The obsidian. What did your grandfather collected it?
Mm-hmm.
Do you recall his name?
Well, he had Indian name, but I don't remember. But the white people couldn't call him his name the Indian way, so they named him themselves. They call him Gunsmith. Of course, that's all he does, make arrowhead and bone arrows, and he used to sell it. That's why they named him that.
How did he make those arrows?
Arrows? Well, he used to have all kinds of stone laying. I used to sit down and watch him when I was little. He used to sit down and he'd rub it, and then he'd chip it. But I remember he used to put buckskin over his hand and lay that stone in there. And if I remember right, I think he had deer horn. Because he didn't have nothing, no file or nothing. He used to go like that, chip it and rub it. He made some long one, about that long, and I asked him one, what's that for so big? He said, that is for a big animal, small arrowhead for small animal. That's all he used to do. He was an old man when I was a girl.
The rest of the arrow, did he use some kind of wood to make the shaft out of?
Hew wood, the bow.
Hew wood?
Uh-huh, that's what he used to use.
And the feathers?
Eagle feathers, what he used to have.
How'd they glue those on?
Salmon. You know the salmon hide? They're sticky, the hide. He used to take the hide off of the salmon, save that. Then he'd dampen that and take that sticky stuff off and make glue out of it. It'll stick. That's what he used to use, because they didn't have no glue.
They would hunt with these arrows. Did they ever poison the point?
Mm-hmm. My grandfather used to tell me, but I forgot what he poisoned the big arrowheads with, or something.
They would hunt the deer?
Mm-hmm.
How did they hunt the deer?
Well, they used to sneak up on them. Like they see some bunch, and they'd sneak up on them and crawl along there. It's like a cat, I guess. I used to see my father do that. And some of them used to use the deer hide with a horn on it. They'd put it over their body and sneak up on them. Well, the deer thinks another deer, I guess, but the old panther got a hold of one of them. Nearly killed a man. They quit that.
I can see why. There were other methods, though. Did they ever lay an ambush?
Yeah, they used to do that.
Did they ever dig pits?
Yeah, my father did, I know. When he was living over here at Lost Creek, he used to watch the deer trail, you know, where the trail deer comes down to water. Well, he'd dig a hole just length of a deer And then he'd put twig cross it and then pine needle on top. Of course, deer don't know, so he'd go down and fall down in that hole. He used to kill them that way. They can't get out after they fall in. They just link of a deer.
I noticed your dress here.
Mm-hmm.
Is of a skin?
Yeah.
What is that?
Buckskin.
Do you have a name for that skin?
Tipsweed.
Tipsweed.
Mm-hmm. See, I sent it away and had it tanned because we don't tan deer hide no more. We don't get enough deer brains to tan our hide. That's what the Indian used to use, deer brain.
How did he do that?
Well, when you get deer brain, you just kind of dry it like. Then after it's dry, you wrap it up. And if you're going to use it, just soak that deer brain. I used to watch my grandfather. He used to throw the hide in the water, let the hair slip. And then when he knows the hair slipped, then he used to have logs about that big slanting in the ground, and he'd throw it over there. And I used to see him scrape it off, but I don't know what he had in his hand to scrape it with. I never paid no attention. He'd get all that hair off and clean it all off, and then he'd soak that deer brain already. He'd smear that deer brain all over that hide, and he'd roll it up like a clothes, like you're going to iron nowadays, you know? And he'd leave it one day and one night. Next evening, he'd work on it. He'd tan one hide in one evening, and it's like this.
Very white.
Mm-hmm. Light color. That's what I wanted. When I sent it away, I told them natural color. They sent me back this color, and I had to take it.
You made the dress?
Yeah, I made this myself, but I cheated when I made this one.
You cheated?
Uh-huh.
What did you do?
Sew machine. If I had to sew it the way they did, take them about 2-3 weeks before I'd finish it.
How did your people used to do it?
Well, they used to use awl. That's all they had, yeah, made out of bone. Mm-hmm.
And then what would they use for thread?
Well, they used to use little strips like this for thread, and some of them use sinew, and some of them use, it's a bush, it grows just about that high, and some of them grows in little switches, like you cut that down and take the little skin off. Every time you pull that off, it just spreads out like a silk. Keep pulling them off till you pull it all off. Then my mother used to twist it like a little string, and you can't break it. You'll cut your finger if you're trying to break it with your hand. I don't know what you people would call it. We call it what I stood up in our language.
The old-time houses, Indian homes, down in the Hat Creek area, do you know what they look like?
I seen two of them in my days. This one I saw was great big and looked like it was fixed like this. I noticed the inside was cedar bark. Then they had these furs like that you could see sticking up here and there. Then dirt on top just packed. And they had a little rock piled up right in the middle and had a little tiny fire and, of course, a big hole on top. I seen bone arrows and hanging inside. And they had bear rugs and deer rugs all the way around where people were sitting. Only the door looked like it was that high. You had to get down on your hands and knees and crawl in. My mother went in. That's how I happened to see it. I don't know what they were doing. There were a lot of people there.
Were they ever bothered much with snakes?
Snakes?
Out of the park?
There's no... Oh, there's a few little water snakes, but no rattlesnake around the park.
But when we get out of the park, down in lower country, there's rattlesnakes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's some rattlesnakes on Hat Creek.
How did they keep away from the rattlesnakes?
Well, they used to have songs for it. When you travel, like we were picking berries, they had songs for it. They used to sing.
You recall any of those songs?
My mother used to tell us when you go around, you know, we was around through the brush. And you want to sing that song, he said, when you go through, he said, rattlesnake wouldn't come near you. Well, we used to when there's a girl. We used to say, that's what we used to say when we'd go around through the brush, you know. We never did run into rattlesnake.
Maybe it worked.
Yeah, I must too.
Do you know what it means?
Well, it means you're packing a turtle's head. Stay away from me. Just slip around someplace else, not come close to you. You know, the Indian claims the rattlesnake can't kill a turtle. And rattlesnake's kind of afraid of turtle because, you know, when they, as soon as you touch them, they all crawl back in their shell. and the rattlesnake can't get at him. That's what they claimed. I know I used to see our chief. He used to kill a turtle, and then when he's cooked, he used to take it to pieces, and he used to save the liver. And if he's going out hunting, he used to smear his moccasin with that liver. He said he wouldn't come close to him.
You must have been here during the eruption.
Yeah, I was here. We live right straight across over here. They call it Lost Creek. That's where we was living when that blew up.
Would you mind telling us a little bit how that was, that eruption?
We always knew that mountain was going to blow up. Because when my father was young, he used to go around, camp around, him and my mother, trapping for silver gray fox. And my mother said it blew like a sawmill whistle, and how they blew at 1 o'clock, 12 o'clock. She got scared. She wanted to get out of there. And my father said, oh, it's steam giving away someplace. He said, some of these days, he says, that mountain's going to blow up. He used to tell me, he said, if you live long enough, he said, you're going to see that mountain's going to blow up. But he saw it himself. He was still living when it blew up. When it first made the roar, sound like an old Model T Ford puffing, because we had kind of steep place to go up and before you hit the flat. And in the evening, we heard that. My father went out. He said, it's somebody coming. He said, it's a car. He said, it's white people. But nobody showed up till the next morning when we got up. The ground was covered with ashes. Then we knew. Every time it roared like that, we'd run out and watch. It looked pretty in the evening. Light would come up and go back down the same place now and then. Somebody told us it was hot rock. Smoke went over our cabin, didn't bother us. Only thing, we couldn't get to town. All the bridges washed out. But people live along Hat Creek, the Indian and white, they had to move out. Of course, they couldn't use the water. It was just mud.
I understand you had a little experience once while you were out digging roots.
Mm-hmm.
When the ground was hard?
Yeah.
Tell us about that.
Nobody does that anymore, though. They used to have an Indian doctor, women and men's. But this lady, she know she could make it rain. It's kind of hard to believe I didn't. We was digging roots. I was a pretty good-sized girl, must have been about size her. And the ground got hard digging those roots. And this lady know this doctor woman. She says, let's hire her. She says, she can make it rain. Of course, my mother didn't know. My mother said, could she make it rain? Said, yeah, we'll pay her for it. She was digging too, the doctor woman. Mother said, all right, there's a bunch of them digging. Said, okay, we'll pay her for it. So if this lady knew her, she went over and talked to her, and she laughed, that's all. She didn't say nothing. Pretty soon she had a little bag with her, and she took out her pipe and her tobacco, and she started to smoke. She said, you folks better go home, told us. So this lady come back, and he said, he told us to go home. So we all started home. Before we got home, it just poured down in hail. A little cloud came through the sky, and from there it just spread. But nobody does that no more. We have no doctor anymore anyway. All the Indian doctors are gone. We have to go to white doctor.
That's too bad.
Mm-hmm.
Did you know of any Indian doctors?
Yeah. I used to know several, and my father was one of them.
Your father was
mm-hmm.
one?
Yeah, he was a doctor.
How do you become an Indian doctor?
Well, they tell me you got to travel the mountain and the big lakes and swim in there, and something speaks to you. It's done by the darkness. But nobody does that no more. No doctor left, nothing.
As autumn comes to the mountains, the leaves start to reveal their rich colors. Then, as the first snows fall, the Otsugewi move down to lower country, where the winters were not so harsh. Here they built a shelter, and as the snows piled high on Lassen Peak, they crept close to their fire and swapped stories of great hunts and looked forward to the coming of spring and returning to the slopes of Lassen Peak. Although the Indian's way of life has all but vanished, it was a good life. We can still learn from the peaceful existence that the Indian made with his environment.